Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and it's October 8th, 2020. It's a Thursday, which means tomorrow is Friday, so let me jump the gun and say TGIF. Okay, hope you're having a good week. We certainly are here having a lot of fun. We're talking to a lot of people about our magazine and our consortium for equity, which is over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. And that's our American Consortium for Equity and Education, which is growing like crazy. Thanks to people like you. We appreciate it. Please tell your colleagues and you yourself, if you're a first-time listener or whatever, if you haven't done it yet, join our Consortium for Equity. It's free to pre-K-12 educators. Okay, over at ace-ed.org. You're welcome to go oversee our magazine anytime, Equity and Access. It's our online journal over there. Gets rave reviews. I hope you enjoy. We get all kinds of industry news over there, etc. And we now archive all of these podcasts over there. You'll see a big icon for Education Talk Radio podcast. So go over there, ace-ed.org, and enjoy it. We still tweet, of course, at EduTalk Radio. We get Facebook over at Larry Jacobs. That's me. All right, and Education Talk Radio, and we link in over at Larry Jacobs, and please follow us, friend us, link with us, etc. Okay, we'd love it, and join our consortium, ace-ed.org. I got a good treat for you today, because I know everybody's doing a lot of project-based learning. It's so great. My friends at PBL Works are like the best people in the world, the old Buck Institute, now PBL Works. And so I've got Rich Dixon here as their director of online learning. They got a brand new tool I found out about. I wanted to make sure everybody knew about it, all of our listeners. So without further ado, Rich Dixon, all the way from the other side of the country. I'm in Maine. You're in San Francisco. How you doing, Rich?
Larry, it's great to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to this time together.
Well, I am too, as a matter of fact, and I must ask, because everybody's concerned about the fires, and you guys, I believe, are in Marin County, where there were some serious stuff going on. Is everything okay, fire-wise?
Thank you for asking. It has impacted some of our employees. Thankfully, no one has lost a home, but the reality of poor air quality and inability to get outside for days and even weeks on end has really made life even more difficult during this challenging time.
Yeah, it really does stink. And even, you know, I live in Maine, although, like I said, all the way across the country from you. And California is not used to that, but we're stuck in a lot in the winter. Okay, so being stuck in is not a big deal. But when we go outside, the air is clean and breathable. Okay, and there's not danger, etc. And what's going on out there is just making literally and figuratively everybody sick. I just hope everybody stays safe out there. You went through all this hell last year, and you're going to go through it again. I mean, it's just terrible. Yeah. So I hope you make some changes. So tell everybody I said hello and wish them well, please. Okay,
sure,
Rich,
will.
And I appreciate that. The other thing, and I just before we get into this new tool you're talking about, okay, the new project, I just want to go over, if you would do this, because I always like to do this, you're the director of online learning for PBL Works, but you are a former school administrator, and prior to that, a former classroom teacher, and I love talking about that line, because some teachers think, oh, the only thing I can do is teach, but there's a lot in the industry, et cetera, that they can do. Can you tell us a little bit about your history?
Absolutely. I think it's a great question that I enjoy talking about. And one of the passions that I've always had is getting an opportunity to help build the capacity of other educators to expand the repertoire of what they can facilitate and the conditions in which they create for students to succeed.
Yep.
And I always dabbled while I was a classroom teacher and as an administrator in different positions, including being a curriculum coordinator, ed tech director, and whatnot, in professional development, both as part of my job and then outside of that. And so a longer story short, after about 25 years in formal education, I moved right into an opportunity to work with another company that allowed me to continue to build full-time my capacity to build and facilitate professional development. And that was really transition for me. Yeah.
That's great. And, you know, I say that because I, too, was a former classroom teacher and eventually got into sales and magazine publishing, et cetera. And believe me, I want people to stay in teaching. Don't misunderstand that. But we can also make room for other people. And teachers should understand the incredible qualities they have. Okay. And the industry is always looking for great people with great ideas. So there you go. Right.
I completely agree. And one last point on that, Larry, that I want to surface is I struggled at one point thinking, oh my goodness, am I boxed in as a teacher, classroom teacher? Can I do anything else in the world? Is there a place for me outside of formal education? And I found that there is plenty of opportunity. So I just want to encourage those of you that might be exploring or thinking about a transition, that there are many different opportunities.
There sure are, and you've got, and everybody's got a lot of talent in communication and presentation skills, et cetera, the whole big thing. And sometimes people get in a rut thinking this is all we can do. So, Rich, that's a good piece of advice for everybody. I got to tell you. Mm-hmm. And now you're director of online learning for PBL Works, project-based learning. And project-based learning is a phrase everybody in the world uses. And I'm sure you heard the way I introduced the show. We have our American Consortium for Equity, which I hope you and your colleagues and friends over PBL join up with us at ace-ed.org. Please, you'd be welcome. We'd love that.
Absolutely, we'd love that.
Honor it, as a matter of fact. I'll talk to you about that as well. But, equity is a phrase that's bandied around a lot, all right? Mm-hmm. And it's important that we actually define it and understand it. And the same thing with project-based learning. Okay. Oh, project-based learning. Oh, yeah, I know that. But what is it? So that's what I'm going to ask you. Okay. What is project-based learning, almighty director of online learning at PBL Works? Okay. And why should a teacher use it?
Well, it's a great question. And there are so many different definitions. So I do appreciate you asking that question. We define project-based learning as an instructional methodology. And here are the finer points to that. It's a methodology in which students are going to work together over an extended period of time. I'll come back to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. To solve a real-world problem or investigate a complex question. And students are going to produce a product to share with an authentic public audience. Students are also going to learn content and develop critical thinking skills, all the things we kind of think that happen in project-based learning. But they do this within the context of the project. In other words, there's meaningful context for which they can hang or make meaning of those particular critical skills that we're developing for them. And really, the project becomes, if you want to think about it this way, the package or the driver for the learning itself.
Yep.
And so PBL, in other words, to wrap it up, is it blends together content mastery, aligned to standards, by the way, and we can get into that if that's of interest, meaningful work, and the personal connections to create powerful learning experiences. And we think that this connects both three things, academic achievement, their own personal interests, and then potential vocational interests or aspirations.
College and career ready, as we like to say, right?
Exactly.
Intelligence.
That's exactly right.
Collaboration. I might add, and do me one favor, and don't get into a whole lot of detail here. Just give one quick example of a PBL project that you've heard about that you really like, just so people can hear what a project might be.
You bet. I'll give you a quick one that I just was reviewing yesterday. In the Sacramento, California area, there is an educator, Jim Bentley, who deserves a shout out. And he took his students through defining and answering the following question: how might we, as citizens of our community, create healthier watersheds? And they began to investigate what was literally in the water, and they narrowed that into plastics. And so they went out as a class and they worked with local municipal governments to design a public service announcement to help raise the awareness of specifically styrofoam blocks and how if those aren't disposed of properly, that gets into the waterways and was ending up in the bellies of fish and turtles and other things that lived in those ecosystems.
What a great
and
project.
A very fascinating project. And then here's the important part, Larry. It was real. At the end, they created a real public service announcement that actually ran on local television. And so their audience was authentic. It is important to have an audience of the classroom, but to go beyond the walls of a traditional classroom so that there's a level of, again,
authenticity, if I may. In connection, it's just amazing. I got to tell you, how old were those kids? If Mr. Bentley's
those
class?
Were fifth graders, off the top of my head.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say 12th graders.
And that's what's so beautiful about project-based learning is it equips and empowers students with confidence, because students learn not only discrete skills, they learn transferable skills, the four C's, and then it's applied again to a real-world situation. So they get just incredible validation and an incredible high, if you will, off of learning experience.
Yeah, they actually get something done. And I've heard this time and time again. And again, the reason I ask, that definition can vary. But I'll say it again, PBL Works is the king, okay, if I may, the king of project-based learning. It used to be the Buck. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's still at all the Buck Institute, or is it all PBL Works now?
That's a great question. So we are still legally the Buck Institute for Education, which is a 33-year-old nonprofit, coming up on 34-year-old quick. But we rebranded a couple of years ago to better communicate our belief that PBL does work in service of great learning outcomes for all students, regardless
of
their background.
Yeah, PBL works, okay? That's a noun and a verb, or an adjective. What is that? PBL works. PBL does work, okay? I got to tell you, PBL works. It's not like, and it's also like the water works. PBL works, okay, everybody, and it's that good. And you might know the Buck Institute, so I just wanted to bring that up. Okay, so but before I go on, let me ask you a question that has something to do with us, and then I want to get into your new tool. All right, but you heard me at the beginning again. Equity is a big thing, and I have heard this time and time again from teachers, educators, etc., doing PBL, that equity is a big part of that, and there is a big challenge out there, and I know you know this, Rich, about equity, all right? And can you just, because this will help people put everything into perspective and maybe allow them to do two birds with one stone, okay? Not only will the kids learn, but this will add to the – can you discuss the equity side of this?
Yeah, thank you. It's a big passion of our organization.
I know
we believe that PBL advances educational equity. This is a strong belief that we have, and empowers youth furthest from opportunity, especially students of color. We know through studying and watching what's been happening and transforming in classrooms around PBL and its application, the PBL has a positive effect on deeper learning outcomes, which we can define here in a moment, including on-time graduation rates and college enrollment for students, including students living in poverty and students with low academic performance. And while I can't go into a lot of detail, there's a really exciting study that was done by a large university, which, again, I can't name at this moment, but in January,
watch for it.
There'll be a great announcement about some wonderfully done research on the efficacy of project-based learning to help promote this educational equity. So we'll talk a little bit more about that and make that public announcement in January.
That is really good. We will talk about that some more. That's a key thing. And I know how important it is to you. And I hope that one of the things we're relating through this show is that not only does PBL work for all the other reasons, it helps the equity question. Okay, and that's a key thing that we are concerned with. And again, join our consortium, please, Rich, over at ace-ed.org. We'd appreciate that, okay?
We'd look forward to it. Absolutely.
Thanks,
look
pal.
Forward to that.
Well, please do it. And now talk about this new PBL tool that you guys have.
You bet. We just released about 6 weeks ago something called the Project Designer. And the Project Designer is our interactive tool for creating high-quality project-based projects. And one of the challenges that we've heard over and over again through the years is, hey, I love this. I maybe have been to your training, maybe I haven't been to your training. Regardless, getting an idea and having a really clear structure of what a high quality project looks like would be so helpful, not just in terms of a planner, which we've had before, but also to have a collection of high quality projects to take and make a derivative copy, make a variation of it. And so the Project Designer is a combination of two things. Number one, it's a collection of 72 different high-quality projects. Number two, each of those projects has the ability to be edited. In other words, we put the power in your hands as educators to be able to change any and all elements of the project. So you'll still get our structure of what we define as gold standard project design elements.
Yeah.
You'll be able to change anything from the title, the grade level, any of the details. You can upload your own resources. But what's really cool is that if you, like many of us in this moment with COVID, are stressed because you have so many different things on your plate, and trying to design a PBL unit and an experience that lasts over a period of time, as I mentioned earlier, that's a challenge. And so this helps you to do that by providing you examples that you can take and put into practice right away. But we also have a deep belief that your students in the context in which you serve are critical, and you're going to need to make some adaptations. So this project designer has a tool to do that. Again, 72 high quality projects with the ability to customize, edit those, and then download and print those for your own use.
Are they projects that have already been done by, I'll say, other educators, or are they all brand new stuff? And I probably, it's a hybrid of both of those, I have a feeling, but I just thought I'd ask.
Yeah, it's a great question, and there is a hybrid of both. What's really neat is that there's a handful of these, I believe that there are seven of them specifically within the projects that have accompanying videos that you can find at no cost. The videos themselves are at no cost within our website, my.pblworks.org, that will help illustrate and bring these to life. And if you find a project and it doesn't have an accompanying video, don't worry, watch one of the other videos to really get that aha, that insight into the critical points that make these projects come to life and are become magical, if you will, for your students.
Yeah, and they have to. And now the $64,000 question. Okay,
yeah.
We're in remote learning. Okay, in a lot of places, obviously not everywhere, or we're in a hybrid situation. The kids go in 2 days, okay, and they're home 2 days, whatever the case may be in anybody's particular district who's listening. What are you hearing about, your new product, project designer, B, PBL in general, during these, if I may add, insane times?
We have seen just a huge demand. It's really surprised us pleasantly. That the demand has been so high because, again, folks are stressed. They want something that's meaningful for students where they can create a structure for students. But students, when they're not, if you will, on Zoom or camera, whatever platform they're using, when they're in a remote environment, can continue their own learning in a meaningful way that has some really concrete structure, but also gives them rest of, peace of mind that students are going to have some great learning outcomes. And then also that same project that when they are either back together face-to-face or if they're learning synchronously together online, also can continue. And so it really brings the best of both of those worlds together. And I think it's important to note that we do in each of these projects have different considerations, including remote learning considerations built into them to provide some tips. But I want to make it really clear, these projects work both for remote learning, but also face-to-face. Whenever we get back to doing school as normal, this
some
will continue
are back.
To be a valuable tool. That's right.
Yeah, some are back, okay, full. And, you'll be interested in this, actually. I did a show the other day with the School Superintendents Association, AASA. Yeah, and of course you know them. Everybody knows them. And they are a great group. And they have a new national COVID-19 school dashboard. Okay, they're getting all this information from all over the country, okay, about how different districts are working during COVID, and they're painting a big national picture, okay, so you can kind of see if your type of school district, how it's working and where it is and all that sort of thing. It's really cool stuff, and that's something I just wanted to tell everybody, because this whole thing with COVID, how do you manage, and let's just say these kids are all remote. All right. And there are places where kids are still not back to school. All right. They are back in education, but not back to the physical building. OK, how do you manage a PBL project? All right. During remote education? Maybe that's an easy question, but I'd help people figure that one out. Yeah, maybe that's easy. I don't know. But
no, it's a great question and it comes up a lot. And I think this is where the project designer really helps, because having a predictable structure for helping students develop what we call a driving question. Basically, this is inquiry-based instruction. So helping them to define a really clear and actionable question that they can then go and study. And then being able to provide them with the structures. We have a very, very clearly defined set of structures and steps, if you will, for what the project can be, but without it being prescriptive. In other words, a pacing guide, for example, it tells you exactly what to say every day. I think as a former classroom teacher and curriculum coordinator, it's the best of both worlds. And I think the project is going to provide that structure for you and your students by specifically helping students to work both individually and in small groups for very discernible outcomes. And there's some really great resources that are included in the project designer for you and your students. They can include things like rubrics that can be adapted for the needs and comprehensible for your students. And while the project designer is meant as a teacher-facing resource, the projects themselves really lend themselves to a really great structure that can easily be broken down to help you define what students need to do and at what point, so that students have a clear understanding of when and how to work together in groups and individually.
Who came up with that whole idea of project-based learning? I don't even know. Where did it start? Give me a history.
Well, I would have to say that one of the...
You were a baby when that started.
I don't even think I was born if I go all the way back to John Dewey. And so Dewey is a huge influence.
Don't go that far back. We don't need that. Go closer.
So really, it's truly like an adaptation of his work that just evolved over time. And I will have to say that when things started out about 34 years ago in the Northern Bay Area in San Francisco, California, there was really a drive to try to find a teaching methodology out there. And we really latched on to the work of John Dewey. And that's why I go back that far. We certainly didn't create it. There were others that were, you know, at the University of Chicago and others around the country that were evolving and taking some of the ideas of John Dewey and trying to make them actionable in this teaching methodology called PBL. But what we were really passionate about is taking it from kind of an academic or a theoretical aspiration and making it really actionable. And that's where we began to devise a couple of different resources, which I'll briefly mention, which you can find on our website, pblworks.org. First of all are the design elements for what a project is. And then listing out what those different design elements are. That's what we call gold standard PBL. And then another framework we designed was, what are the teaching practices that are needed to facilitate and make sure that those projects are successful? And then somewhat recently, about 3 years ago, with a coalition of a number of different groups, including ISTE, if you're familiar with them, and
of course you are.
You and I have met there, and Google and a number of other organizations banded together to create a third framework called HQ, as in high quality, project-based learning, which is a framework that helps describe what the learning experience is going to be like for the student. So it's the student perspective on that. And so it's been this kind of evolution over time, but our organization has been fully dedicated over the 33, 34 years. The first few years we dabbled in problem-based learning, which is very episodic, very, very short duration. And then we began to see that there were greater learning outcomes and great value in project-based, which is longer term. And so we quickly pivoted and put all of our eggs in one basket, which we still do today, which again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, building teacher capacity and educator capacity, including leaders to help facilitate project-based learning.
Yeah, and the reason I ask that is because PBL's been around a long time, but and I did know that. But it, to my way of thinking, and I'm not sure I'm right here, it really has gained tremendous traction and greater popularity among educators. And correct me if I'm wrong here, I know it's always been good, but like in the past five, 6 years, it's like going nuts because everybody suddenly realized this is great stuff. Am I
absolutely
cutting that too short?
No, you're absolutely right. We have been really excited to see a number of different things in the broader PBL ecosystem. So we have a number of different groups that do similar work to us. We applaud them, work with them. We also have seen tools that are very specific, like Project Pals and Headrush Learning and Student.io, all organizations we have no commercial or other affiliation with. We just applaud the fact that they're developing platforms to help teachers and students manage projects. So that's one example there of kind of an industry within an industry. So there's a number of different examples that I could go into, but there are a number of new tools to help take what can be, for folks coming full circle back to the project designer, a daunting challenge of what is a project and how in the world am I going to find time to build something that's going to take multiple days, multiple weeks in most situations to experience for the students, and making sure that we help seed teachers with the kinds of resources that they need to be successful in both developing a project and as well as facilitating one. And there's all sorts of other tools in the industry too.
And by the way, I'm going to say this time and time again, you guys at PBL Works do great work. And I really mean that. I just heard about
Thank
something
you.
This week. I'm probably way out of touch here. You probably heard of this, and I just want to get the difference down, and maybe there isn't any, but tell me, okay, Rich, have you heard of this one? Challenged based, another buzzword, everybody,
yeah.
Another buzz phrase, challenge-based learning. Have you heard that one?
Yeah,
challenge-based learning, yeah. What, the difference, PBL,
yeah.
CBL?
Yeah, I would say that the biggest difference for us with project-based learning is that we love the idea of problem-based learning, challenge-based learning, but we really think that within project-based learning, there's a couple of really key important aspects. One is going to be including having student voice and choice part of the process. And that can be a buzzword that doesn't mean a lot to folks, so I'm going to define that really quickly. That means
Thank you.
Students are involved with aspects of helping to design the project in how it is done. So going back to the example that I gave earlier, students in that kind of wetland waterway project that I was giving you, which
yeah.
is all about turned into basically plastics and foam in the water, students got to design with their educator giving them structures and scaffolds so they could be successful, how they were going to go about solving that question. In some cases, students that are, you know, maybe a little more experienced with PBL actually help get to define the question itself that they're going to investigate. Then they're going to have some agency over designing, say, the protocols or methods to going out and find and answering the question that they have. And so there's a high level of student agency there. We also say, again, challenge-based learning can take place over a longer period of time. It can be a shorter period of time. But for us, it's really critical that it's not just a problem set that the teacher defines and puts in front of the students, says, solve this problem and walk away. But rather that this is going to be an iterative process where students go, they learn about something, they're getting critique, and they're making revisions on their work before it goes to a public product. And challenge-based learning doesn't necessarily have all of those particular components. And if you'd like to learn more about this, you can check out specifically how we define that project-based learning through visiting pblworks.org, and there's a what and why section on the page, and it gives a really clear definition with some great graphic overviews
yeah.
there.
And again, I'm just curious because I heard this challenge-based learning thing twice this week, okay?
Yeah.
But as I kept learning about it and asking about it, which I'm glad I had the opportunity to ask you, I don't see that big a difference except the way you just defined it. Okay, it seems to me it's just another new buzzword, but it's really just clomping on what you guys do. That's the way I see it right now.
Yeah, there's definitely some different nuances,
I guess there are.
For sure. And
just another
term.
I just was curious, and thank you, Rich, for helping me out there. Okay,
yeah.
I do appreciate it because I just you know, sometimes you got to be careful with this stuff. And I said not there's anything wrong with challenge-based learning per se,
right.
But, you know, it's kind of like the difference, do you want a Chevy or a Ford? And, you know, that kind of a thing. They're still going to get
yeah.
you to the supermarket and to the ball game on time, okay?
And Larry, I'm going to jump in real quick and say one of the reasons multiple agencies like ourselves went in and defined the HQ PBL framework was to solve this very challenge.
Yeah.
Because we saw a lot of different terms coming to market, if you will, a lot of different solutions either saying, hey, we're PBL or we're, you know, some derivative of that. And so we wanted to be very clear that regardless of our how, in other words, we have a very clear how we believe as PBL works, high quality projects are developed. We also know that there can be a lot of confusion of what that really looks like, and that's what the HQPBL framework looks like. And you can find that at hqpbl.org, and that
Thank
is
you.
A free resource that clearly defines what we mean with project-based learning.
Yeah, and I love what you guys do. You guys have proven yourself time and time and time and time again, and I love the equity side, by the way, and I do want to talk to you more as that project from the big university comes to light, because people have to understand exactly where you are in this scheme of equity. Let me ask the other $64,000 question, and oddly enough, it has to do with money. What's the is there a cost to using the project designer?
The project designer is a one-time fee of $39.99. That gives you everything, the 72 projects plus any that we may bring to you, There's no gimmicks. There's no recurring charge. There's no surprise.
Are you talking 40 bucks or 3,900? Wait a minute. 40 bucks?
40 bucks.
40 bucks.
Yeah. 40 bucks. That gives you all you can eat. And what's important is, as a former educator and other former educators inside, we know what it's like. Many of us pay out of pocket. And so we want to create a reasonably priced but high value resource. And that's what we believe we've achieved with the Project Designer.
I would say so. $39. I want to make sure I heard that right. $39.
That is
right?
Correct. That's it. And again, no sell. You're not going to find anything when you get in that says, oh, now you need to pay X more to get new access to new features. No, that's the whole thing.
Wow. That's pretty good pricing. I got to tell you, that's great, man. Okay. That's super. And do people just go to pblworks.org and sign up? Is it right there?
That's right. If they go to pblworks.org, there is a link to the store. And once you get inside the store, the Project Designer is front and center, and you'll be whisked away from there.
I know what the answer is going to be, but what are you hearing from educators? Okay. And by the way, you know, we put things out there. I mean, let me just say, nothing's ever perfect the first time it goes out there. Okay. What have you heard from educators? What little tweaks have you put in, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, we have absolutely been floored. The joy that I get is the getting to hear the feedback from educators. And I think the first and foremost, the one thing I hear consistently is it is so nice to have high quality projects that I can adapt and make my own. And having some level of a really thorough, really fully developed project leaves nothing for ambiguity. And yet we also, again, recognize that everyone has their own context. And that seems to, and they need to customize to meet that. That's what seems to resonate. We've already done a couple new releases. We've improved our both our download ability and our print ability. That's been really, really cool and really welcomed improvements from the first release. And we're just getting lots of great feedback. So we're really pleased with a really successful and smooth rollout of this Project Designer.
Yeah, it's just wonderful. And I'll tell you, at that price, every teacher who's interested in PBL has to take advantage of it. And if you've never done it, this is a gold mine of information, everybody. That's all I can tell you. And it's been thought through for COVID times, and that's a key thing. Okay, it's just so important. Rich, thanks a million, my man. I appreciate this.
Larry, you do great work. Love your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I appreciate the time.
Thank you. And we will be in touch with you, okay? I want to talk to you more about this new report that's coming out on equity, okay?
Sounds great. Take care.
Thank you, my friend. You have a good day. Be careful out there, okay?
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. Rich Dixon, everybody, who's the director of online learning for PBL Works, and they are a quality operation. That's the best thing I can tell you, all right? We'll archive the show over at ace-ed.org like we always do. Okay, join our consortium. I can't tell you how much we'd appreciate that. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.